open your word and study your word and preach from your word. And Father, I pray that you'll just help me this morning as I stand before your people. And Father, I thank you that you've given me this great opportunity and privilege, Father, not only to pastor the flock here, but also to preach your word here in this community. And Father, I pray that you'll use me this morning as I preach your word. Father, I pray that you'll help me to speak to people, and I pray that you might do a work in the hearts and the minds and open their eyes, Father, if there's one here that's lost. Father, I pray that you'll help them to understand and see the meaning of this passage. And Father, I pray that today they would look to the Lord Jesus and be saved by the grace of God. Now, Father, I just pray your blessings upon the preaching of your word this morning. First, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
On January 9th, 1876, Charles Spurgeon actually preached a message from this very verse, which I read to you this morning. And in an introduction to his sermon, Spurgeon relates to those in attendance exactly how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to give you his own personal testimony of salvation this morning before I get into this message. As Spurgeon was preaching from this verse in his introduction, he says it was 26 years ago, 26 years exactly last Thursday, that I looked unto the Lord and found salvation through this text. You've often heard me tell how I've been wondering about seeking rest and finding none. That's until a plain, uneducated lay preacher among the primitive Methodists stood up in the pulpit and gave out this passage as his text. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Now this preacher didn't have much to say, and for that reason he kept repeating his text. But there was nothing more he needed to say as far as I was concerned except his text. I remember how he said, "It's Christ that speaks. I'm in the garden in agony, pouring out my soul unto death. I'm on the tree, dying for sinners. Look unto me. Look unto me." That's all you have to do. A child can look. One who's an idiot can look. However weak or however poor a man may be, he can look. And if he looks, the promise is that he shall live. Just stopping, he pointed to where I was sitting, right under the gallery, and he said, "That young man there looks very miserable." I expect I did, but that's how I felt. He said, "There's no hope for you, young man, or any chance of getting rid of your sin but by looking to Jesus." And he shouted, "As I think only a primitive Methodist can. Look! Look, young man! Look down!" And I did look. And when they sang a hymn before they went home, I'm sure I joined in. That's Spurgeon's own personal testimony, how he was saved under the preaching of this verse by Methodist lay preacher. This one verse in the book of Isaiah was used by the Lord God to bring that great man of God to the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand that his salvation experience wasn't unlike any other believer's salvation experience. You see, there was nothing unusual about his salvation experience. Everyone who's been saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is saved basically the same way as Charles Spurgeon was saved. You see, he was brought face to face with his own sinful condition.
Amen.
And his need for a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when by the grace of God he believed the gospel, he was saved. The truth is, this morning, we tend to make salvation more difficult than what it really is. In fact, the doctrine of salvation is amazingly simple. Yet when we speak of salvation, the Lord's salvation, we like to use words and phrases that may not be too familiar with people who have never been in church before in their lives. We use words and phrases like saved, born again, and redeemed. And those words and phrases can be confusing to someone who has never darkened the house of God. But there's nothing confusing or mysterious to understand about the salvation of the Lord. In fact, the doctrine of salvation is really very simple. And that's why I want to preach to you from this verse this morning on the subject, simple truths about the salvation of the Lord. I want to give you some simple truths about the salvation of the Lord that we find here in this one verse. Yes, it's just one verse, but this verse is full of meat to chew on. And there are plenty of simple truths here that you need to know and believe. So let's look at just one verse of Isaiah and break it down.
Morning, I messed my notes up, but y'all just bear with me. Yeah, I'm not hard.
That was freezing.
Now, guys, let's look at this verse. Break it down. First thing I want you to notice is the simplicity of salvation of the Lord. Notice how simple it is. The Lord says in verse number 22, "Look unto me." The only thing that might give some people any problem with that statement there, "Look unto me," is to know who "to me" is that's speaking right there. But God tells us who it is there in verse 22. He says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." It is God speaking. It is God who we have to look unto in order to be saved. God doesn't say in that verse, "Look unto me and be baptized or join the church." He doesn't say, "Look unto me and pay your tithes." Nor does He say, "Look unto me and live right." He doesn't even say, "Look unto me, turn over a new leaf, and promise to never sin again." He simply says, "Look unto me." Sometimes the doctrine of salvation can be so simple that people stumble all over it. It's so simple they can't believe it's so simple. They're like, "There's got to be more to it than that." They have a hard time believing that the salvation can be so simple. But the simplest, the salvation of the Lord is very simple. Look unto Him. Look unto God. Last week I brought you a message from Numbers chapter 21, and we spoke about the fiery serpent that was sent by God as judgment on the people of Israel in the wilderness because they had spoken out against God and against the man of God. And so God has sent judgment upon them in the form of fiery serpent. And I showed how that serpent that God had Moses make out of brass and place upon a pole and lift up so that when people would be bit by them fiery serpents, they could look to that serpent and live, was a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On the tree of Calvary.
Amen.
Being judged for the sins of His people.
Amen.
We need to look unto Him if we're going to be saved. Jesus even spoke about this in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Amen.
Or not everlasting, eternal life. Eternal. Sorry. You read it wrong, but it's the same meaning. Exactly what the gospel message declares. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4 says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." The Bible tells us that if we'll believe that, we can be saved. Romans 10:9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." The salvation of the Lord has nothing to do with your ability. The salvation of the Lord has nothing to do with you being able to change or keep what you receive from God in order for you to be saved, because salvation is of the Lord. It doesn't have to do anything to do with you or a bunch of faith. All you need is simply enough faith to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that comes by the grace of God.
Amen.
Anyone can look. It doesn't matter if you're young, middle-aged, or old. You can look. It doesn't matter if you're smart or not too smart. You can look. If you think that you're a bad person or you're a good person, you can still look. Anyone can look. Question is, have you looked? Have you ever looked unto the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, will you look? Will you look and see that He has done all that is necessary in order for you to be saved? Only you'll come to faith in Him by the grace of God. As I explained last week when I talked about that serpent on a pole, when the Israelites was bit, they had to look to that serpent on that pole in order for them to be saved from death. But no one could look for them. They had to look for themselves. And the same is true here. No one can look to Jesus for you. You have to look for yourself. People can pray for you. People can plead with you. But you only have to look for yourself. You have to do it. No one else can do it for you. So, again, I ask the question, have you? And if not, will you? Understand, the only way you will ever look to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved is by the grace of God. It's the grace of God that gives you repentance to turn from your wicked ways and look to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. It's the grace of God that gives you the faith to trust in Him. This leads me to my next simple truth about the salvation of the Lord. And that is the security of the salvation of the Lord. The Bible says in there, the Lord says, "Look unto me and be ye saved." If you will look to the Lord, you'll be saved. That's what the promise is. That word "saved" means to rescue from all harm and danger. But when someone who is not saved or has never been in church hears the word "saved," they automatically think of someone who has been in a car wreck or is in a burning building or maybe drowning or some kind of danger, and someone goes out and rescues them from danger, then they say they've been saved. But the truth is, if someone is rescued from a burning building or a wrecked car or drowning, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily saved spiritually.
No,
they're not. Yes, they're physically saved from the danger that's before them, but if they're still living in their sins, without ever trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they still are facing the danger of an eternity spent in the flames of hell, where they will be tormented forever.
Amen.
So when a person looks to Jesus Christ for salvation, that person is saved from the penalty of sin. And the penalty of sin is death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." However, it goes on to say, "But the gift of God," and you see that, the gift of God, it's not the gift of man. It's not the gift of your own will. It's the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Every person who is living without God is living in sin, and the wages of sin is death. And so they're going to die. If they die in their sins, they're going to go to a place called hell. And a lost person will say to you, "Well, everyone's going to die." And that's true. Everyone's going to die. The Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto men once to die." Every one of us is sitting in this room, if the Lord does not return first, we're going to face death. It's an appointment that we will keep. But the rest of that verse says, "But." Once again, the word "but" just changes everything. After this, the judgment. One of the biggest lies going around in our world today, one of the biggest lies being believed in our world today, is you only live once. Boy, they just love that statement. The world just goes around, "Oh, you only live once, might as well enjoy it." But there, it, verse Hebrews 9:27 is so clear.
Yeah, after that, it goes.
"It is appointed unto men once to die." Yes, we're going to die once. That verse also says after this the judgment. So that tells me death is not final.
That's right.
After this the judgment. After you die, there is judgment to face. Whether you be a sinner saved by the grace of God, or whether you are a sinner lost in your sins, there is a judgment that you will stand before. Which one you stand at is determined by whether or not you have the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter number 20. I want you to see what the lost sinner faces. If you die lost in your sins, this is the judgment that you will stand at. This is a passage I think it would do us good to read every time we come to the house of God. It would do us good to read this passage every morning to remind us to share the gospel with those who are lost in this world, because this is the judgment that they are going to face. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That is the sinner's judgment. Now we will stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be judged according to our works and what we've done for Him since He saved us. But we will not lose our salvation. Amen. It is the penalty of sin which leads us to death and eternity in hell, where you'll be eternally separated from God and all that's good. But if you've looked unto the Lord Jesus, He'll save you from that penalty of sin. Yes, you will have to die a physical death if he doesn't return first. But you will live eternally in heaven with him.
Amen.
Many people think that once you're saved by the grace of God, you're saved from sin and you sin no more, but that's not true. You still sin because you're only saved from the penalty of sin. You're not saved from the power of sin. As you live and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're being saved from the power of sin. And when you die, you'll go to heaven and live forever with God in heaven, where you'll continually praise Him for what He's done for you. In heaven, you will be saved from the very presence and power of sin. Many religions and denominations tell us that looking to Jesus only puts you in a position whereby you might be saved. They say in order for a person to be saved, they have to live right. They can never mess up. In other words, they have to walk a straight and narrow path. And if they slip up or they make a mistake, then they're going to lose their salvation and find themselves back on the road to hell. These same people say that the doctrine of once saved, always saved is a lie straight from the pits of hell. But I tell you, they're the ones who have been deceived. The Bible clearly teaches eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible is very clear. If we're not saved by not messing up, we're not even saved by being good people. We're saved by looking unto the Lord. If you're still in danger of being lost, then you've never been saved to start with. Because the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, very plainly, look unto me and be ye saved. If he had said there, look unto me and do this and do that, and then you'll be saved, then you can say that God hasn't saved you, but just put you in a position that God might save you. To show you how silly this thought of not being secure in the salvation of the Lord is, let me give you an illustration. Suppose I was walking by the lake one day and I saw a man way out in the lake drowning. And I swam out there to where he was, and I grabbed him by the neck and pulled him up above the water, and I started swimming back with him, and then when I got about 20 yards from the seashore, I let go of him and said, okay, I got you this far. You're on your own now. Did I save that man? No, I didn't save that man. As long as he is still in danger of drowning, he was never saved. So no matter how much I might brag about what I did, I didn't save that drowning man. When God saved the lost soul, He saves it for eternity.
Amen.
It's everlasting.
Yep.
It lasts forever.
Amen.
There's no way that you can mess up your salvation if it's of the Lord.
It's of the Lord.
It has nothing to do with you. It is all of the Lord. You may not believe me, but you don't have to. I ask you to believe the Word of God. Let's look at what the Word of God says about it. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day.
Amen.
And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise them up at the last day.
I will.
Jesus says he will lose none that the Father has given him. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 10, verses 25 through 30. I want to make sure you understand that you are eternally secure in your salvation if your salvation is of the Lord. I don't want you to leave here this morning with any doubt about your salvation. John chapter 10, verses 25 through 30. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father am one.
Amen.
He very clearly said, we will never perish. If you are saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no doubt in your salvation, because it is of the Lord. And if that's not enough evidence for you, I want you to listen to what Peter says over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He's speaking of people who are saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking of people who have looked to God for the salvation of the Lord. He says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Who keeps us saved? God does.
Amen.
There are many more promises in the Word of God, but who can argue about the security of your salvation when your security, or you're secured by the power of God? Let's look back in Isaiah chapter 45. There's still more in that one little verse. Verse number 22, we find down the scope of salvation. The scope of the salvation of the Lord. In verse 22, it says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Regardless of where you live or what you've done in your past, if you look unto Jesus and come to Him, His promise to you is He won't cast you out. He won't turn you away. You don't need to be afraid of knowing that the salvation of the Lord is not for you. Because if you'll come to Him by the grace of God and look to Him for salvation, you can be saved. The Bible clearly teaches that salvation is for all who come to Jesus by the grace of God and look unto Him. In our text, it very clearly says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Jesus very clearly stated in verse 37 of John chapter 6, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. These verses couldn't be any clearer. If you'll come to Jesus by the grace of God, look to Him through the eyes of faith, believe that He can, He'll save your soul. Besides that, if He saved me, He can save you. You have nothing to fear this morning. Remember, salvation isn't for good people.
That's right.
It's not for self-righteous. Jesus said in Matthew 9:13, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You're here to point and think that if you're too good, Let me just tell you that the Bible tells us not just once, not two times, not even three times, but the Bible tells us five separate times. Psalm 14:1, Psalm 14:3, Psalm 53:1, Psalm 53:3, and Romans 3:12. All say this, there is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Amen.
Boy, we love to go around and talk about, oh, that's a good person. And they may be good, but they're not good enough according to the Word of God.
Amen.
To save themselves. However, Jesus is able to save all who come by the grace of God unto Him. He can save them from the guttermost to the guttermost. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for Him. That leaves us with one more important truth about salvation in this verse. And that is the source of the salvation of the Lord. Verse 22 says, look unto me, be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There's the source of our salvation. I am God and there is none else. Salvation is found only in Him.
Amen.
There's only one road to heaven. There's only one remedy for sin. There's but one way to escape hell. And that's by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no boasting in our salvation because our salvation had nothing to do with us. It is all of the Lord. If you're here this morning, you've been truly saved, you've been saved by the Lord. Salvation doesn't come through church attendance. It doesn't come by being a good person or being a member of one of the Lord's churches. It doesn't come by water baptism, as some teach, church denomination, or because you're related to someone who's saved. Salvation can only be obtained through good deeds. Can't be attained through good deeds and clean living. Jesus said it very plainly in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
There is no way to get to the Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to look for Him and look to Him.
Yeah, right.
There's no room for debate. The only road that man can take that will bring you to God is the one by Jesus Christ. And your eternal salvation hinges on whether you have Christ in your life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, he that have the Son, have life. And he that have not the Son of God, have not life. No one goes to heaven because they're a Baptist. There are plenty of Baptists sitting in church pews this morning. And if they don't look to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to burn in hell.
Amen.
You don't get to go to heaven because you're a good person. You don't get to go to heaven because you've done good things or because you've been a good person. You go to heaven because you look to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you trusted in what He has done
right.
For your salvation. He done what you couldn't do. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He kept the law of God. And He died in your place if you'll come to Him by the grace of God.
Amen.
And trust
Amen.
In Him. Has God come to where you are? Has He opened your eyes and your mind to the truth that you are a sinner?
Amen.
Will you look to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will you leave here this morning still trying to get to heaven some other way? Listen to me this morning, please. Stop trying to do what has already been done.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has done everything that is necessary in order that you might be saved. You need to look to Him and trust in Him. He's the sole source of salvation. Don't you want to know for sure that you're saved? Don't you want to know for sure that your sins have been forgiven and you have a home in heaven? You can have all that and much more if you'll just look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've looked everywhere else. You've tried everything else. Why not look to Him? What would you say about a drowning man who someone throws a life preserver to and he just throws it away from him? What do you say about a man who's wounded and would sit there and rip open his wounds after he's been stitched together? You might call him a fool. Bible says in Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Don't be a fool. Look to the Lord Jesus. By God's grace through faith, and be saved this morning. If you'll look to Him, you'll live eternally. That's simply the truth when it comes to the salvation of the Lord. And I pray that you'll look to Him and be saved this morning. We stand. Our musicians come to help him with his decision.